WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. During classes on the Florida State University Tallahassee campus today,
I hightailed it out of there, ran through the union, pointed at multiple people on the way, started yelling, call 911, there's an active shooter.
After the shooting stopped, two people had died and six were injured. This 20-year-old suspect, an FSU student, is hospitalized after being shot by officers when he refused to follow orders. He's the son of a sheriff's deputy, and Tallahassee Police Chief Lawrence Revelle says the suspect used his mother's retired service weapon.
A lot of times, many agencies, mine included, when we transition to a new handgun, the officers are allowed to purchase the handgun they used prior. And correct me if I'm wrong, Sheriff, but I believe that's the case here. This was a handgun that deputy used prior to them transitioning to a new handgun, and so it was her personal handgun.
President Trump has called the shooting a shame and horrible. No word on a motive. Luigi Mangione has been indicted on federal charges, including murder. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
Well, federal prosecutors announced the charges against Luigi Mangione last December. He hadn't formally been indicted until now. He's pleaded not guilty to all the charges brought against him over his alleged assassination of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty. His lawyers have filed a motion for that to be off the table.
America's top diplomat is in France to discuss Ukraine. CBS's Elaine Cobb is in Paris.
French President Emmanuel Macron hosted a working lunch for Secretary of State Marco Rubio and President Trump's special envoy Steve Witkoff. The ultimate goal remains the same.
I think everybody wants to get this.
French presidency sources confirm there will be another high-level meeting in London next week, and the U.S. will be there too.
Drama today in the skies over Central America. CBS's John Dickerson with that.
The police in the Central American nation of Belize say a U.S. citizen armed with a knife tried to hijack a plane carrying 13 other passengers. They say the man wounded three people before he was shot and killed by another passenger.
The plane landed safely. Authorities do not know the hijacker's motive. In a landmark case against a tech giant, a federal judge says Google is an online advertising monopoly. More from tech contributor Ian Schur.
This case revolves around advertising technology and effectively saying that Google used its power as one of the largest websites in the world to drive up prices for advertising.
It's the second major court win for the Justice Department over Google in recent months. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News, your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
The Brewers tank the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-1 win over the Tigers. Sal Frelick hit his first home run of the season and talked about getting back-to-back victories to win the series after losing to Detroit Monday 9-1.
Super short memory in this locker room. Ton of guys, you know, were just showing up the next day. Long season. So, I mean, wins and losses. You have a good win next day. You have a tough loss. Yeah, just keeping that short memory in the locker room.
Basketball. The Bucks head to Indy to play the Pacers Saturday. Game one of their best-of-7 playoff series in Green Bay. The NFL draft now just 1 week away. Packers president Mark Murphy.
This is the second biggest event that the league has. It's exciting that we're able to have it here in Green Bay, and the economic impact, I think it's $94 million statewide. There'll be 250,000 people here over the 3 days. It'll be a 3-day commercial for Wisconsin and Green Bay, and it's just publicity that, you know, you really can't match.
That's the Packers' Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Nate Bargatze's star continues to rise. The comedian is selling out theaters and has multiple TV and film projects in the pipeline. As it turns out, he wasn't busy enough, so he will host the 77th Emmy Awards broadcast. Bargatze calls the gig a huge honor to host such an iconic awards show and added that he is beyond excited to work with CBS to create a night that can be enjoyed by families around the world. Huh. You might not have heard Amanda Bynes' name in a while, but the former child star is excited to announce that she is now on OnlyFans. That's right, the What a Girl Wants star says fans can interact with her for just $50 a month. But hold on, perverts, there is a catch. Bynes says she will not offer any racy content. I know what you're thinking. I already pay OnlyFans thousands of dollars a month to watch attractive women bake cookies and read scripture. Good luck, Amanda. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered storms this evening, some could be strong, still a shower or two overnight, and a low in the low 50s. More showers and storms possible tomorrow, mostly cloudy and a high near 60. Mostly dry and pleasant for the weekend, with highs in the 50s.
Currently it's 56.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, we're going to play a little Which Whopper's Worst. And I'm not talking about burgers. Which lie of the week is the worst lie? Tune in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school
You're
sports show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Carnegie, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dagon. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
You know, traditionally, we just had a big thunderstorm here in St. Paul, Minnesota, and traditionally we have our feast the day after the first thunderstorm, and so you people that are going to have your spring feast this weekend, good ups on you, and say a prayer for us and our family. Hey, Chujunk, I'm going to be going tonight to New Native Theater, and I do believe that starts at 7:30, and if it doesn't start at 7:30, I'm going to be late. I got to take a shower and everything, but well, I'll have to double check those times. But everyone that can make it this week to New Native Theater at the Gremlin Theater, their new play is out, and it'll be really exciting to go see.
Yeah, I think the newnativetheater.org is where you can get tickets, and theater is spelled with E-R at the end, not the E-R.
Bougie. Yeah. Ho-wa. Hey, you know, one of my all-time favorite athletes, and our store sells T-shirts and hoodies with Jim Thorpe. Yesterday was in 1973, President Richard Nixon proclaimed April 16th, Jim Thorpe Day, in recognition to all his accomplishments. And Thorpe, 1887 to 1953, was Sac and Fox Potawatomi, and he won the gold medal in 1912 Olympics, and is considered the greatest athlete in the 20th century. And, you know, he played Major League Baseball, he played football, he was the first NFL commissioner, and he was Bo Jackson before there was a Bo Jackson. And we celebrate Jim Thorpe and here on Native Roots Radio, and just a big shout out.
Yeah, I want to say a shout out to Indian Sports too for covering that article. That's where I got those notes from also.
Very cool. And we have another one, Robin Wall Kimmerer. Is that how you say it?
Robin Wall Kimmerer, yeah.
Wow. That's one in a row for me. Yeah, he's an Indigenous elder scientist and storyteller.
No, it's a girl.
She is. Yeah, it's one of those names. Good call. She is an Indigenous elder scientist, storyteller, and award-winning author for her book, Braiding Sweetgrass, is named Time's 100 most influential people of 2025. And geez, that book has been out there for a while. And I believe there was a movie Braiding Sweetgrass too.
Oh, I'm not sure about that one.
Cool. All right. Well, Ed, what else is going on? And then, well, she's got more awards there, I see. She's a citizen of Pottawatomie, Robin is, and she released Braiding Sweetgrass in 2013, which has become a cultural phenomenon across Turtle Island. Indigenous TV says her newest work, Serviceberry, released last November in 2024, continues an important conversation. Robin Wall Kimmerer has been awarded the 2023 National Humanities Medal and the 2024 Stone Award for Literary Achievement from Oregon University and 2023 MacArthur Fellowship. Her book, Braiding Sweetgrass, has also won the Sigrid Olson Nature Writing Award. Yeah, wow. That was a mouthful. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Haley. That's amazing stuff there that you got up there for our listeners. And that's very cool that, you know, you post this stuff and have us talk about it here on Native Roots Radio, because a lot of people just love the information that you put out there that people don't know. And our listeners a lot don't know. And so the education aspect of the show is, you know, something that's needed out there. And I appreciate you doing all this research.
Yeah, I was excited to talk about it for sure. Moving on, I know April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and MIWRC is partnering with SVC Sexual Violence Center for Take Back the Night, and that is tonight. It's going to be in Shakopee. It's at Memorial Park from 6 to 8 p.m. I don't know about the weather, if it's raining over in that area, but maybe bring an umbrella and a rain jacket. Yeah, I know that that Take Back the Night in Shakopee is going to have speakers, different performances, community, and resources.
Yeah, and again, a new Native Theater will present The Nut, The Hermit, The Crow, and The Monk. This is for 15 performances at the Gremlin Theater in St. Paul, located at the Annex Building, 550 Vandalia Street. And that does start at 7:30. And I was correct in my memory on that one in a row again on there.
Nice. Yeah, I know. I think they had their first performance was last night, mm-hmm. Wednesday, and then Thursday is another one. And then I think grand opening night is Friday officially. I think that's what Rihanna said.
Yeah, and I like that you can pay what you can, but the suggested price is $35. And you can go to box office at newnativetheater.org. And there was a brown box or brown bag thing you can go to too. But yeah, go to them or show up and bring a chair just in case they're sold out. I know a lot of times they sell out that theater. Hey, we got a Bob show today, Haley.
We do. We're going to have Robert Lilligren on from NACTI, and Bob Blake is going to return from Red Lake.
Yeah, we haven't talked to Bob in a while. Oh, wait, Bob Blake from Red Lake, I meant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was going to say Robert Lilligren, I think, was on last Thursday with us.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see his insights, what's going on. It's always good to catch up with him. And Native American community development has really got that big thing that I'd love to talk to him about with the news release that came out a couple days ago that we reported about this funding.
Oh, yeah, those five organizations in the Minneapolis area in our Native community. I think NACTI, I would have to go back and look at that press release, but five organizations are getting some significant funding to help out with the houselessness epidemic that's going on here with our relatives.
Yeah, and Native American Community Development Institute will be facilitating those funds with those organizations, so it'll be great to talk to Robert about that process and how that came about.
Yeah, I know MIWRC, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, is one of those organizations. Mm-hmm. to get those funds to help out with that. And MIWRC has been doing those weekly drop-in days on every Tuesday for unsheltered relatives to come in, have a meal, get a shower, maybe take an hour nap or get some sleep, and then be connected to those community resources.
Well, I know also the Warrior Society, the Indigenous Protectors, got funded too. That was pretty exciting to hear. And
IPM.
Yeah, and they do, they're boots on the ground, so it'll be cool to hear all about this. And then, of course, Bob Blake from Red Lake, he will be talking about the Solar Bear with the Solar News. So. That's cool. Allison just said that if you like braiding sweetgrass, Dr. Jessica Hernandez gives another valuable indigenous science perspective based on her background and from the Pacific Northwest. And I just finished watching North of North, so we'll talk about that sometime too. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short message. Everyone stay dry. Ho-wa.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the Spoon and Cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Now showing at MIA, artist Mary Sully was a visionary ahead of her time. Born on the Standing Rock Reservation, she worked in near obscurity between the 1920s and 1940s, creating intricate, vividly colored drawings that blend Dakota heritage with modern life. Now on display at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, experience the first solo exhibition featuring Mary Sully's work and see how her art challenges traditional ideas of Native and modern art. Only at MIA and always free to visit. Learn more at artsmia.org.
Anin, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have our friend Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and great to see you, and congratulations. We got a news update, a press release a couple days ago about exciting things happening for our community of homeless people here in Minneapolis. So big congratulations to your group facilitating that.
Yeah. Bonjour, Haley. Bonjour, Robert. Thanks. Always great to be here. And I assume you're referencing the grant from the Minnesota Department of Human Services. Yeah. And it is kind of a big deal. I mean, it's some money, which is always useful. Obviously, it's not enough to care for all of our unsheltered relatives or just solve the issues, but it was a healthy influx of cash. It's $1.5 million that was granted directly from the Minnesota Department of Human Services, and then through NACDI, Native American Community Development Institute, and then working with our Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors organizations. We have six organizations that are all receiving part of this that are doing direct support for our unsheltered relatives.
Yeah, that's exciting. Really, our unhoused people of our community does not get the things that they need. And I know a lot of organizations like yours, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, step up during these times of cold weather and things. So well deserving, like you said, not enough, but it's a good start.
It's a great start. And I'll tell you, I'm really impressed with the now former Department of Human Service Commissioner. She just stepped down, but Jody Harpstead. And then a lot of the commissioner level and deputy commissioner level folks at the state. And they've been really coming into the community, listening to us, bringing federal representatives into the community that can shake resources free as well. And one of the things we've been saying at the community level and through the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, our longstanding leadership forum here in the Native community, is just give us the damn money and get out of our way. Let us do the work. And to their credit, this leadership of these state division departments heard that. And so former Commissioner Harpstead had some discretionary funds unprecedented to deal with issues of homelessness. And so she did that. She figured out how to bring $1.5 million into our community. Very sort of light touch kind of regulatory requirements, which is unusual for public grants. For those who have used them, they're usually very arduous. And then with this, really the responsibility lies with us and the community to be responsible, to do what we said we're going to do, to administer these. And so NACDI, Native American Community Development Institute, is the fiscal agent for these. And so we kind of manage the relationship with the Department of Human Services so that our organizations, like those that you mentioned and others, American Indian Community Development Corporation, the Indigenous Protectors, Indigenous Peoples Task Force, they're some of the other recipients. So it's doing things, Robert, like providing overnight drop-in shelter. That's one of the initiatives of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. But it's also doing things like training Native youth as peer recovery coaches. That's what Indigenous Peoples Task Force is doing with some of the funds. Oh, Native American Community Clinic is one of the recipients as well.
Yeah. Amazing. And just happy that, you know, something like this can come up during what some of us are thinking are dark times right now. So that's awesome.
I think that's a great point. And, you know, here in the local community, amongst community and leadership, we've been working for decades to really build this collaborative, cooperative, and supportive model of leadership here in the metropolitan area. And so what happened not recently with the Department of Human Services grant is kind of building on that, right? And so now our responsibility is to show the world and the legislature that this works. And please do more of it. And right now, as I'm sure you're both aware, there's a lot of dark clouds over the nonprofit world and how state funds get delivered to the nonprofit service providers here in Minnesota. So we're going to lift up an Indigenous model that can show the state and other communities how it's done, how it can be successful.
That's awesome. And I know I don't want to get negative, to be negative Nancy here, but we've discussed over the years how the state's pointing to the, you know, county, and the county's pointing to the city, and the city's pointing to the state. And so this is boots on the ground and people in the community that can help quickly and know how to help.
Yeah, exactly. And as I've said before on the show, that in our city, in our region, a Native person is 37 times more likely to live without shelter than the broader public or the white community. And so I've always argued that, yes, we're a relatively small number of people by population, but when we have the greatest disparities in these areas, in my mind, that's where the investment should go. If you're interested in equity, if you're interested in closing gaps and closing disparities. And so here we have that opportunity to lead us. Show us a way to lead out of this.
Yeah, I hope other organizations are going to be watching this, like you said earlier, and I'm excited that this opportunity is out there for the community.
Hear, hear. And there's other sort of developments that are very, very closely adjacent to this, or very closely parallel, or even intersect with this work with the Department of Human Services. And one of them is our Unsheltered and Opioid Subcommittee. That's a subcommittee of the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors. We've been meeting continuously since the Wall of Forgotten Natives here, so almost 6 years. And we got a little loud and pushy at the end of last year and reached out to our jurisdictional partners, as we see them, the city of Minneapolis, Hennepin County that we're in, our regional government and the state, and said, do you even care about us? Mm. We're 6 years beyond the enormous encampment at the Wall of Forgotten Natives, and it doesn't really feel like anything's changed to us. And so we need to engage. And to their credit, these jurisdictions engaged. We had a massive multi-jurisdictional meeting in early January, about 100 people there. And from that, we're continuing through a smaller sort of steer group to craft this work of this multi-jurisdictional group. And then the working plan for this group comes directly from the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors Subcommittee on Unsheltered Homelessness and Opioid Use. So it's just a wonderful braiding together. I'm feeling more traction now than I've ever felt in this area. And I do feel that we're being listened to. And so we'll see what comes out of this.
Can you tell our audience, too, that this hasn't always been the way it has been in Indian country? It hasn't always been collaborative, and how important that switch has changed over the years. Can you maybe talk a little bit about that?
Well, sure. And I'm sure it's no surprise to a lot of our listeners when you're dealing with a colonized community, a traumatized community, you know, and one that's been trained to see other Native people or Native organizations as competitors, right? Native orgs compete for funds. We compete for service populations. And I believe that this is an expression of a mentality of scarcity that really isn't indigenous, but it's been imposed on us through forced assimilation, colonization, genocide. And so here and in other parts of the country, but here in the urban communities where we don't necessarily have sovereign nation status, where we're standing, but we have it inherently within us. And how do we express that? And leadership here, again, through the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, has been deliberate for maybe the last close 15, 20 years about sitting together and trying to throw off this yoke of colonialism that forces us or encourages us to view each other as competitors, fighting over whatever crumbs they put in front of us, and instead to really shift to a mentality of plenty, where there's plenty of resources, and as we indigenize our relationships and operations, we can collaboratively seek these resources to better serve our people. And I'll tell you, it's been pretty successful. It's been hard fought, hard won, but we're doing it. We continue to commit to it. And the rest of the world sees that then. The legislature sees that we have a way of creating collaboration and cooperation in our community. We're not all going to be racing to the legislature and saying, pick me, pick me. We can figure this out amongst ourselves. Mm-hmm. Who's the best to seek these opportunities? And we've been doing it, you know, and there's always room for growth, and we'll continue to grow. But at this point in my career, in my life, I feel very good about where we're at.
Yeah, well, maybe we can talk a little bit in the next segment, just a little bit, because we got a lot to talk about, is how you decolonized your workspace. And I think that's partially what you're talking about, too.
Yeah, we're working at it to really indigenize the way that we work. I learned some important lessons from elders during COVID that we're putting into implementation at NACDI.
Yeah, let's talk more. Really excited, Robert, to have you on and talk about these things, and gets us going in a positive way. And we know with the way the federal government's reacting to us and everybody.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
CBS News Brief. A Florida State University shooting suspect who's the son of a sheriff's deputy, according to police, used his mother's former service weapon to kill two people and wound six on campus. President Trump responds,
"I'm a big advocate of the Second Amendment. I have been from the beginning. I protected it. And these things are terrible. But the gun doesn't do the shooting. The people do."
America's top diplomat travels to France to discuss Ukraine. CBS's Elaine Kahn.
A series of meetings included top officials from France, the UK, Germany, and Ukraine.
Scary incident on a small plane in Belize. Police Commissioner Chester Williams says a man stabbed three people on board.
Shortly after taking a family trip, the plane was hijacked by a passenger on board who has been identified as one Akin Yela Taylor, who is a U.S. national, apparently is a veteran as well.
Taylor was fatally shot and the plane landed safely. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers tank the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-1 win over the Tigers. Sal Frelick hit his first home run of the season and talked about getting back-to-back victories to win the series after losing to Detroit Monday 9-1.
Super short memory in this locker room. Ton of guys, you know, were just showing up the next day. Long season. So, I mean, wins and losses. You have a good win. Next day, you have a tough loss. Yeah, just keeping that short memory in the locker room.
Basketball, the Bucks head to Indy to play the Pacers Saturday. Game one of their best-of-7 playoff series in Green Bay. The NFL draft now just 1 week away. Packers president Mark Murphy.
This is the second biggest event that the league has. It's exciting that we're able to have it here in Green Bay, and the economic impact, I think it's $94 million statewide. There'll be 250,000 people here over the 3 days. It'll be a 3-day commercial for Wisconsin and Green Bay, and it's just publicity that, you know, you really can't match.
That's the Packers' Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After going into space thanks to Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin company, Gayle King has received quite a bit of backlash from her friends and colleagues and various celebrities. According to Variety, King addressed criticism that the flight was expensive, a self-indulgent publicity stunt, and pointless by saying Bezos' company is just trying to figure out a way to harness waste here on our planet and put it into space to make Earth better. The jury is still out on how many bags of trash they took, but it doesn't matter because in a related story, no one believes her. In case you're wondering how much participants paid to go into space through Blue Origin, speculation is that there is a $150,000 payment for the reservation, but the actual trip might have cost millions per person, and maybe even more for Lauren Sanchez, who probably had to buy extra space for her lips. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered storms this evening, some could be strong, still a shower or two overnight, and a low in the low 50s. More showers and storms possible tomorrow, mostly cloudy and a high near 60. Mostly dry and pleasant for the weekend, with highs in the 50s.
Currently it's 56.
Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And wow. He said, make sure you don't call it ad libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, tariffs and Wisconsin businesses. How is that working out? We talked to James Vanderloo. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Minneapolis Twin Cities. Robert, you can always tell when you have a good coworker or producer, when they see you struggling and they jump right in there. Oh,
right. Your sneezing attack.
Yeah,
it's allergy season. I thought you were pretty good not to sneeze right into the microphone.
Oh, I got this sneeze button right here, and I use it because I sneeze.
Often,
yeah. Well, this big honking nose is getting a lot of impurities up from all over. So, often is right. Hey, let's talk a little bit about decolonizing the workspace again. Finish up on that thought, because to me, that's an amazing thing that you've brought to the table with your work area and the people work with you. I just love this story.
Well, thanks, Miigwech, for asking. And, you know, I often like to think of indigenizing rather than decolonizing, because I would rather put it into our own framework. And like a lot of Native organizations, tribes, others, you know, we've been working at NACDI to indigenize our workplace to the greatest extent for a while here, and with some success. And, you know, some of the things are fairly simple or maybe obvious. For example, rather than a hierarchical structure, we have a circular structure, right? And then that expands out. It's community at the center, and then sort of NACDI and their programs and our partners and things. And things like that we did early on. But I will tell you, during COVID, I was able to spend some really quality time with a local elder, a wisdom keeper, herbalist named Linda Eagle Speaker. And we had this wonderful one-on-one coaching time through COVID over Zoom, of course. And Linda walked me through this really incredibly intense curriculum that she and some of the other, most or all women, I think, cultural caregivers use to promote indigenized organizational health. Nationally, they've done this work. And so I learned incredible lessons from Linda Eagle Speaker about how to indigenize our operations, indigenize my leadership within the organization and the community. And it's been enlightening. And I would say the center of what Linda taught me, the core of it, and what's had just transformational impact on our organization, is an Indigenous perspective and way of caring for ourselves first, our family second, and then our community third, or the organization third, the rest of the tribe. And as Linda was teaching me this, I would really push back against it. And I'd say, Linda, we're Indigenous. We care for the whole, you know, that's our whole thing. And she would just repeat to me like I was a little kid, actually. And she'd say, Robert, that's the colonizer way. The Indigenous way is care for yourself first, then your family, and then your community. And I finally got to the point where I said, okay, I'm just going to believe her. I'm not going to resist this anymore. I don't really have proof, but I trust my elders and I'm going to believe her. So I started operating in that way. And I'll tell you, Robert and Haley, in a very short time, I just saw the transformational impact it had on me and my work and my ability to sort of produce or whatever, to engage. So we taught it to the rest of our staff, and they resisted at first. Because it's just not how we're programmed these days. We're conditioned, but over time, people started to do it, believe it. You know, we started to put policies in place that made that easier. Very permissive PTO, personal time off policy, for example. You know, adjusted salaries so that people are making enough to live on, things like that. but it's the central belief that people care for themselves first. And so when workers at NACTI show up, whether it's in the office, in community, working wherever they're working from, they know they're cared for, their families are cared for, and they can give 500% to their mm-hmm. work that day. And it has been transformational. I'm surprised more, not mm-hmm. just nonprofits, but more businesses don't operate with this approach, but it's been very satisfying.
And it's great to hear. And I like to talk about it every once in a while, because maybe it'll shake up a few people that are listening to the show too. And if things aren't working the way things are going on, maybe that's a place to look at and reach out to Robert Lilligren and possibly Lyndall Eagle, a speaker too, about talking about that. I love that.
Yeah, and a lot of folks are doing stuff like this, but it's just, you know, it's always kind of balancing history, tradition, and then with contemporary and future. And I feel like we've really found a good spot at NACTI. I mean, we're contemporary Indians. Well, pretty much at NACTI, all contemporary urban Indians, right? And mm-hmm. so how do we express that? It's really an enjoyable part of my work.
Yeah, that's just awesome. And I know Haley does, and I stop in the office, and the vibe's always there and always opening, and people mm-hmm. are busy and happy.
Yeah.
And as you guys know, our office is tiny. Yeah. We have 12 people working in one small space. We have our All My Relations Arts Gallery right next door. Rory Wakemup's incredible show there now. But we also have a back gallery. You can separate, that usually gets incorporated with the larger gallery shows, but we've had the use of that during mm-hmm. Rory's show, which has just been like luxury for us. We can, you know, meet with 10 people at a time or something, but it's a pretty humble place. That's my point.
Yeah.
But people love being there, not just you guys, yep. you know, in this back gallery. Now everybody wants to have meetings there. It's this closed off little space, but mm-hmm. there's just a very good vibe.
It feels like home.
Thanks. I love that. It is like home.
Yeah. Hey, before we get into the segment part where Wendy always says, ask Robert what he wants to talk about, I wanted to ask you just one more thing too. It just blows my mind. I'm talking about the women that went up in space. And Katy Perry just speaking for everyone, and just blows my mind. It cost them each $28 million to do that. And what good work could be done with that money?
Right, right. Well, and it was just for a few minutes, right? I mean, I don't...
Yeah, 10 minutes.
You have $28 million, and that's what you're going to spend it on. But I agree with you. You know, what we couldn't do with that $28 million here in the community. And so I think it's intriguing. I think the response here on Earth has yeah. been really interesting. Yeah. It's not really what I would have expected.
Yeah.
Response. And a fair amount of negative publicity, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was it was an interesting bump.
Right. I appreciate the way you put that. So again, now we're in the part of talk about what you like to. We just talked about Rory's exhibition, and what else is going on in the avenue and that you would like to talk about?
Well, there's so much going on, but I would say the big thing to lift up is the preparations for American Indian Month mm-hmm. here in Minnesota, and I think unique in the country. May is American Indian Month here in Minnesota. It was an initiative of Ames back in the day, the American Indian Movement. I think it started with American Indian Week. And through Clyde Belcour and other people's advocacy, you know, that got established and then broadened out to a month. And mm-hmm. and it really is as meaningful as the community is willing to make it.
Yeah.
Right. And we've really seen, I'm sure you guys have seen over just maybe the last few years, 5 years, 10, community really invest deeply and hold a number of events. And the big kickoff is May 1st. The community always has a march or a parade, if you want to be a little mm-hmm. more polite. And that's just a great community gathering point. Lots of youth We have a community-wide float contest that people really are into. And so that's, you know, hundreds, thousands of people, maybe.
Yeah.
And then this year, normally it ends at our Minneapolis American Indian Center, which is sort of all brand new right now. But this year we then are going east on Franklin Avenue on the American Indian Cultural Corridor and heading to Indian Health Board. And
we'll
end the march there, the parade there. And then there's some ceremony and celebration about their new facility that they're just going to build on that incredible campus they've been setting up right there just east of Hiawatha Avenue.
Yeah, that's exciting. That was that last year, too, that ended up there? Because I remember seeing the governor. And was that the, was that, that march?
I thought that might, was that Indigenous Peoples Day?
Or maybe.
But there was a land blessing last year.
And yeah.
I just can't remember if it was in the spring or in the fall.
Oh,
but so the land's blessed, the building's designed, funded, and they're ready to move forward. And so I just, and there's so much other exciting stuff. I just saw a message from Dr. Anthony Stately come across my socials. And Haley, I don't know if you saw that. I didn't look as close as I should, but it was an important development in their new building on the American Indian Cultural Corridor.
Yeah, I know they're having their groundbreaking ceremony next Friday.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know if that's invite only or open to community, but that's exciting news for Native Americans.
Well, I'm sure you guys would be invited if it was invite only. But it's hard to keep community away from stuff like that. And I'm guessing since it was on Dr. Stately's social media, it's open to the public.
Yeah, so our 200,000 listeners, come on down. Get the free food and hopefully the inflated colon's up.
Yeah, right. I have a great show, a photo of me inside the inflated colon, which NAC, the clinic, uses for colon health awareness. But it's really exciting. And I'm really honored to be able to work as part of a new holdings company that's been created to run that building. And so to be something of an owner of that.
Wow.
So. Yeah, Mary Lagarde is on that group. I'm trying to think who else. The stars.
Yeah, all the people I want to hang out with but never return my phone calls.
I hope you're not including me in that group.
No, of course not. Here you are, giving your free time to us with the great information. Hey, Robert, thank you so much. And I just can't express how grateful I am these past years that you've come on and shared your positivity of what's happening in the community. Really, I just look forward to talking with you.
Yeah, Miigwech, Robert, Miigwech, Haley. It's always a pleasure.
Right on. Hey, up next, Robert. It's the Robert Show. We got Bob Blake from Red Lake talking to the Solar Bear with the Solar News. We'll be right back after this short break.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Summer is fast approaching. How will your teens spend their days? Reconnecting Our Roots is a unique opportunity for Native American teenagers from the Twin Cities area. Students will engage in cultural activities and learn about Native histories rooted through Minnesota Makoche in a welcoming environment. The summer session runs July 14th through the 18th at the Minnesota History Center, and a stipend is available for those who attend each day. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NEI.
Everyone knows I love Rudy Luther Toyota, but do you know who else loves Toyotas? Consumer Reports. They're out with their best of 2025 auto issue, and once again, it reads Toyota, Toyota, Toyota. Of the new 2025 models, Consumer Reports recommends the Prius, Corolla, Corolla Hybrid, the Camry, the Sienna, the Corolla Cross Hybrid, the RAV4 Hybrid, the Highlander, and the Highlander Hybrid. In almost every class, you'll find a Toyota. Find one for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
Oh!
How?
I hear Bob Blake. Hey, we have our guest, our friend, Bob Blake from Red Lake, owner of Solar Bear and executive director of the nonprofit Native Sun. Welcome, Robert, good to see you, and I like your hat, and great to see you.
Yeah. Hey, Robert. You know, the new solar data sheet just came out, and there was installed solar in this country like every 48 seconds.
Wow.
There are battery manufacturing and solar facilities, manufacturing facilities, in 41 states.
Wow.
I say this, Robert. I say this right now because up at the Capitol, or up in the Capitol in Washington, our politicians are trying to figure out if they should repeal the Inflation Reduction Act and all its great initiatives and jobs that it's produced in the country. Mm. And I'm telling people right now on the radio right now, and the listeners out there to this program, that if our politicians go through with this, these are just that many more jobs that are going to be eliminated from the American economy.
Mm. Yeah. So call your Congress people and your representatives immediately. This is a red alert.
Because, you know, we've seen recently all the jobs that, you know, are missing because of these tariffs. You know, China canceling orders on like 9,000 planes. I mean, these policies are devastating to this country right now. And if this administration goes through with this, you know, I don't believe that this administration is declaring war on the rest of the world. I think it's declaring war on this country, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's declaring war on the American people, the American worker, and the public.
Absolutely. The oligarchies are not hiding out anymore. They are definitely doing what they said they were going to do in the 2025 manifesto.
Exactly what they're going to do. It is devastating right now to, you know, to, like I said, to the American public. So I just want to point that out, that renewable energy sovereignty, American energy, being energy independent is good for this country, is good for the economy, is good for the American worker. So please, all of you, contact your congresspeople, contact your senators, contact your elected officials, and let them know, and let your voice be heard, that they cannot repeal the Inflation Reduction Act and all the good things that have come along with this, Robert. It's really important right now.
Absolutely. What else do you got for us, Bob?
Yes. And so, and not along the same lines of that, you know, through this data sheet, solar is being used by lots of corporations. Walmart, Target, Home Depot are some of the main corporations that are investing heavily in renewable energy. this is going to continue to happen. Meta, Facebook, you know, those guys, Amazon, you know, Hewlett Packard, all those guys, they're all doubling down on the investments in renewable energy. So I think that's really exciting and really encouraging that there's a lot of private investing that is happening that obviously the Biden administration helps stir.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got to stay vigilant and keeping an eye on things and, you know, listening to your reports about what's happening. Because I know over the years we've talked about so many good things that are happening. And now you just mentioned every 48 seconds, you know, and these things that were unimaginable just 6-7 years ago.
Yeah. And another thing is too, Robert, a lot of the court cases that are going up to the Trump administration in regards to this government funding, the courts are siding with the funding. So it's going to be interesting because we're going to start seeing some of these dollars start flowing into these communities that were waiting for this funding to happen. But still, there are still programs being attacked by this administration, like LIHEAP and other programming. So, you know, we really have to stay vigilant and continue to work with our legislators and our politicians to keep this funding going for the folks that really need it best. I was in just Seattle recently, and I was talking to people from Phoenix, Arizona, and they are scared if the LIHEAP program goes away, how are people going to be able to pay their electricity bills for the air conditioning they'll need this summer? And they said that people will die because they can't cool their homes, Robert. This is scary. This is real. Mm-hmm. These are just regular folks, people, normal human beings that rely on this government assistance, and this administration is attacking it.
Right, exactly. And that's one of many things, but thanks for bringing that up too, because we know with the global warming, how hot our these areas like Phoenix and Texas and these southern states are just, not only is the weather changing, but it's getting hotter and hotter.
Yeah. So I don't know, Robert, I just really feel like I hope that, you know, that cooler heads prevail and that, you know, that we really take care of, you know, our fellow man, especially in, you know, through climate change. I will be going out to Maine next month. At the end of the month, there's been a lot of talk about Maine's governor and how they're going how there's a lot of things going on out there. So I'm pretty excited to go talk at a conference out there in Maine next month. And then also, Robert, I am in a play.
And what? I saw that. What? Tell us about that quick. Oh, my God.
I am playing the uncle in this play for the Minnegijic Theater Ensemble. It's going to be next month, and I'll send you the information, but it's a wonderful cast, and I'm really super excited to play the dad in this part. I used to do a lot of community theater before, but now I'm getting back into it because I was asked by these two wonderful ladies who run this theater ensemble. But I will get more information on the next time I come back on the show.
So you're playing an uncle?
I am playing Uncle Billy. Yes, I'm playing the dad, Billy. I'm playing the dad, Billy. And I am, it's a rom-com, Native American rom-com. It's going to be at 825 Theater, the 825 Arts Theater on University Avenue. Uh-huh. That's my old neighborhood. That's the neighborhood I grew up in, everyone. Yeah, it's really exciting. And it's all Ojibwe cast, which is pretty cool. Written by an Ojibwe woman. Wow. And really excited to do the play and super excited for everybody to come out and check it out.
Well, we're going to have you on a week before that comes up so we can get people out there to watch. That's awesome, Bob. What else can you do? My gosh, you know.
Oh, we've got so many good things coming out. We got a new... And then I'm doing an interview next week with Matthew Holding Eagle for...
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Emerson Lehman, host of the WBAY Morning Show here in Green Bay, into the studio for a pickleball breakdown. And it's a bar band Friday night as Terry Barr drops by with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Tallahassee police say a 20-year-old student brought his sheriff's deputy mother's retired service weapon to Florida State University, killed two people and injured six others before he was arrested. CBS's Skylar Henry.
Panicked students scrambled to safety. Some even ran through traffic, while others took cover inside their classrooms.
Upset with Fed Chair Jerome Powell's comments on the effects of tariffs on the economy, President Trump suggests he can remove Powell. CBS's Jan Crawford.
Trump argues that he has the power to do this under the Constitution, that these are agencies that perform executive functions. He's the head of the executive branch, and so Congress can't restrict him from removing these members.
A resentencing hearing for Eric and Lyle Menendez is postponed after an argument over a risk assessment document. Defense attorney Mark Aragos.
This is a case that cries out after 35 years for a reduction to a manslaughter and a release, immediate release.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.